Hello guys, and welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out with your favorite co-hosts, as always, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we are joined by the one and only Christina Zumbo. So I first came across Christina on the wild world of TikTok. You guys know that I love TikTok. And although we have not met in real life yet, we have quickly become the internet besties. And so I couldn't not invite her on the podcast. And of course, I had to bully Stella into this. No, not at all. I'm kidding. But that is enough from me rambling. Let's get to our wonderful guest of the episode, Christina. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice for you to actually ask.
When I texted you, I was like, is she gonna say yes or is she gonna think I'm a weirdo, because I'm literally just some random girl of TikTok for you, but like, you're here, so I don't know, maybe we have to pay you or something, I don't know, but like, we're grateful.
No, I'm very happy to chat always, and I feel like we're both like commenting on and hyping each other up, so it's never one way, it's always both ways.
Yeah, I don't even remember how. And with anyone I meet online, I never remember how we first meet. I just know that we were hyping each other up in the comments and then following each other along. And it's just been a wonderful friendship that's blossomed. And now Stella's part of the picture as well. And now it's amazing. So to get things started, and we do this with every guest that we have, tell our listeners something that is a fun fact, something that might surprise them. It can be anything, everything, whatever you feel like.
Well, in real life, my fun fact is that I have TikTok, but the people on TikTok, I think probably people are surprised to find out that I'm like a massive introvert, even though I share like my whole life online every day. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm super love one-on-one conversations, and that's why I think like in TikTok it probably comes through naturally, because it's basically like FaceTiming your friends. But yeah, I'm super shy in like group situations, and after like events, I need to like drain, like refuel that social battery.
So what's that process like for you to kind of reset and, I don't know, recharge the batteries?
It depends on, like if I have a really social weekend, I need to have like a real chilled out Sunday. Otherwise, you know, the Sunday scaries come. I think with me is I don't go to a lot of things, but the things that I do go to, I get really excited for, and then I need to have like a day or so to reset afterwards. But I've been getting better with it.
I know a lot of content creators struggle with the comment side of things and how much of themselves to put out there. Being an introvert and, you know, wanting to keep certain things to yourself and restoring your energy with your alone time, how have you found balancing comments and how much of yourself to put out there?
Yeah, well, I kind of like sharing more about myself. It's weird. It feels like it's a community of people that I can share myself with, and there's no judgment, even though like there is. But I don't really care what people on the internet think if they don't like me, because, like, they're just people on the internet.
That's great. It's how we all aspire to be.
Literally.
It shouldn't affect me that much. It used to, and I used to think, oh, this person doesn't like me, I've done something wrong, I need to change, but, like, there's that fly.
It's not personal. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, exactly. I've really come a long way with like negative comments on TikTok, and I think the reason why I started it is because I was too afraid to be on Instagram. So
really,
I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, Rosie, but I started this kind of journey on TikTok because I wanted to talk about my weight loss journey, but I didn't want to put it onto Instagram because everyone that I know is on there, and I felt like I was too afraid, and like people that I grew up with, you don't need to know that I've gone through this because it's not your business. Yeah. Went to strangers instead, but I actually really enjoy showing more and more of myself online. I have had a few moments where like I've gone live, and then after, this is early on in the piece, but afterwards I'll be like, oh, I shared way too much of myself. And then late at night I'm like, ah, shouldn't have said that, but nowadays I don't get that at all.
That's so good. And I think something that's interesting that's come out of our friendship and the conversation the three of us had before we started this episode was that you didn't want to become that weight loss girl. You don't want your personal brand to be that. And I find it really interesting that that's actually the reason you started posting on TikTok. Was there a moment, or was it over a couple of months or a time period, where you realized, okay, I no longer want to be the weight loss girl, and I now want to be about more about your mental health, I guess, and enjoying life, and you do a lot of cooking and food and like a lot more about like that positivity in general and like just living.
Self-love.
Thank you. That's literally the term I was looking for. Very long way to get there.
well, it wasn't really about like a strategy or like who I want to show. It was literally who I was becoming. And last year was a massive journey with me, mental health wise. So I've just really shown what I was going through at the time. And that just happened to correlate with a bit of a growth with self-love and therapy and mental health. So I've kind of shifted into what I thought was the most interesting thing about me to this is who I'm becoming, this is who I am, this is who I want to be. Nothing negative about weight loss or going through that journey, because that was massive in my life and I won't not talk about it. I know people want to hear about it. I take it a year, 2 years ago, I used to believe that was the most interesting thing about me. So I've kind of had to have a bit of a shift and realize that it's not, and you are worth so much more than that, and losing weight isn't like increasing your self-worth in any way. So it's been reciprocating the inside is what I want to put out to the world, if that makes sense.
It's nice to hear that perspective, because I think unfortunately our society does put a lot of value on how you look and fitting into a certain beauty standard. So it's good that you're able to keep in mind that you want to go against that, and like that's not the most interesting thing about you, and that's not the biggest part of your identity. Even though weight loss is part of your story and part of your journey, there are so many other factors that make you who you are that hold a lot more weight, for want of a better term, than just your fitness journey.
Absolutely. And it's something that I've definitely had to unlearn. I mean, years and years of, especially the age that we grew up in, and you know, the model thing, like the magazines. I remember like
digging
through Dolly Mag and like wanting to be part of like the girlfriend like model comp, but being like, I'll never look like them. But like, that's a lot of unlearning to do. And there's still comments from, you know, people my mum's age, that kind of generation, that still kind of has that belief. But it's a lot of unlearning, but it's freeing to realize that I am happy within myself and I don't need to change. And like a big example of that is, you know, we've just gone through a new year and everyone's like, we're going to lose weight and become a better person. And I just want to be me. I just want to be genuine and authentically me and be happy within that. No change required. If we get to the end of this year and I'm exactly who I am right now, that's okay. And that should be okay.
Oh, totally. I love that. That's a massive thing in my therapy journey currently as well, is even though I have areas of myself that I want to work on and things that I want to improve, and you know, you should kind of have that focus, it's still a question of coming back to, I'm enough as I am, I'm worthy as I am of the love that I deserve, and I'm enough exactly as I am. If I never changed again, I love who I am and I'm happy with that.
Oh, yeah. And it's a massive shift to where I used to be. I remember it would have been only like middle of last year where I went through like a really big dip, and that would have been evident in probably my content as well. I started talking about mental health a lot more, where I would like hang out with a friend for a few hours and come home. And I remember talking to my partner or just kind of saying it to myself that, you know, I didn't add any value to that conversation, or I shouldn't have gone, or that was a waste of their time because, you know, I didn't add that value. And that's so silly. Like thinking about that space that I was in then, it's nice to see that like darkness, there's a light side to it and you can grow out of it. If you try and you don't, you know, give up on yourself, which I definitely did for a long time. So I'm really passionate about taking care of myself and making sure that, you know, whatever I look like on the outside, I'm okay with myself on the inside, because that's all I'm left with at the end of the day.
What was it in particular that led to, like in that context that you just went over, that shift in mindset for you?
Well, the last few years, so I went through significant burnout in a previous corporate job. There was a big stigma about mental health. Like I was having anxiety, depression, panic attacks, and I was too afraid to talk about it with my workplace, so much so that I left one day after having a panic attack and I never went back. So it took me a really long time to work through that. But, you know, after a year or so of working through that, working on me, going through therapy and actually talking about things that I had avoided talking about or was too embarrassed talking about for so long, I started to feel a little bit freer, a little bit like more weight off my chest, and thinking, you know, this is okay. People go through this. This is actually pretty normal, but we don't talk about it enough. I think especially like I've seen depression in my family, and it's something that was just like shushed and like hid under the rug, and talking about it is actually so freeing. So going through that big journey, and you know, weight loss and mental health coincided with that, it's just really important to me just to focus on finding who I am and being kinder to myself, whatever I'm doing.
No, yeah, totally. No, absolutely. And that's something that's really important to us with this podcast, and something 100%. That I think we've definitely leaned into a lot more recently is being open about talking about our mental health and having people like yourself on who are open about talking about their mental health as well, and just kind of reducing some of that stigma around talking about it and expressing that so many people go through these things and we're so much more alike than people realize.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, I love that, like, even just talking about it on TikTok, for example, it's some relationships that I have in real life that were never that close, that they were never that vulnerable, mainly because I never really spoke about it with friends until I really started this 12 months ago or so. So after that burnout from that previous job, I started a new job, which was also corporate. And this was mostly working from home, and it wasn't the right environment for me. So I ended up going, even though I'd worked on who I was and I was in a better place, I kind of felt like I was slipping back into the previous mindsets and wasn't feeling myself. So something that went viral semi-recently on TikTok was actually me resigning from that job.
I remember that video.
Yeah. So that was where I was, you know, I was having therapy twice a week and I was talking about it with everyone that I knew, and it was a decision that I had been procrastinating for so long, but once I'd actually pulled that, like, trigger, was so damn freeing. So yeah, realizing that sometimes it's just the environment that you're in that can make you feel like you're not as worthwhile as you really, really are.
No, totally. And I think it just, I mean, it's stuff that Stella and I have spoken about in episodes as well as just real life, is being stuck in a role and feeling like you owe something to someone, because you don't feel like you should quit, because you think, oh, well, quitting is for the week, or maybe, you know, maybe it's really not that bad, even though I'm having a panic attack every day, or I'm dealing with a micromanager who yells at me in meetings. And then you realize, on you talking about in that video in particular of resigning, I was like, yeah, I've been there, and I procrastinate. And as soon as you do it, the weight is just gone and it's lifted. And oh my goodness, like, I can just see your transformation from your content, and obviously just seeing where you are now and where you were a year ago. You just seem so much more, like, so more organically, and that's not the word I'm looking for either. So much more far out. I can't do can't do podcasts this late at night. Happy is basically the word I'm going for, is you're radiant, sunshine, happy, glowing. And it just seems, you just, I'm done with words. Anyway, that's all I was trying to say. Good.
Well, for anyone who's interested in watching that video in particular, we'll make sure that we link it in the show notes as well. But in terms of what some of those key milestones or big moments in your mental health and self-love journey have been, what are the ones that really stand out to you?
There's positive and negative that stand out, and probably a negative one, but I've grown from it, is when I was probably at one of my darkest places, my partner, who is Dan, he's incredibly supportive and caring. He sat me down, he gave me a piece of paper and a pen, and he said, I want you to write 10 things that you love about yourself. And I sat there and I cried for about an hour, and I couldn't put pen to paper because I could not literally think about one thing that I liked about myself. And then he was like, hey, that's, like, think about that. You are worth so much more than that. So we kind of shifted that to, you know, what does your dad love about you? What does your mum love about you? What do I love about you? What does Ellie, your dog, love about you? What are your cousins and best friends? What would they say about you? And that kind of made it easier for me to think, you know, they might like this about me. But I went through, it was really difficult at that time to just say something nice about myself. And that's where my self-talk was. And he has actually pinned that, that is sitting on our fridge still to this day, because I look at that and I think, I was in such darkness, but there is sunshine through the end of that if I keep working on it and I just try. So it is a point that I reflect on a lot. So yeah, it's just the growth, and just time does heal, but you got to work on it.
And I love that as well, because it's something that you hear time and time again with people who specialize in self-esteem and, you know, building people's perception of themselves up, is forcing yourself into those uncomfortable situations. And, you know, there's the mirror exercise where you sit there and stare at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself things that you love about yourself. Yeah. It feels so weird to say and do it first, particularly if you are in certain habits of really negative self-talk, like so many of us are. But once you do start building that habit, it does start to feel more natural over time. at first it's going to feel really weird, but that doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And something that my partner says to me a lot, which is kind of along those lines of like affirmations, but in his own little quirky Dan way, whenever like I didn't want to go to work or I was like thinking about calling in sick or like I just couldn't do it, or I couldn't peel myself off like the shower floor because that was like my crying area when I wasn't feeling good, he would be like, get up, you're a boss ass bitch and you've got this. Like, do it for me, do it for Ellie, it's just one more day. And then you'd get home and you'd be like, it's just one more day. And I think that's probably when I maybe came across with Rosie, because I was doing vlogs about like Sunday scaries, and the Monday that I was so scared to actually go and do was really actually beautiful, but I just had to make myself get there and get up, get ready, it's going to be okay.
I love that mindset so much. And I think something making TikToks and content myself that I'm so curious about is, you obviously said you were too nervous to post on Instagram because there were people that knew there, and you found sort of solace and comfort in posting on TikTok to essentially see strangers. You've got, what, 120 something thousand followers now. Do you have people in your life who didn't know you were posting, who have now seen your videos, come up to you and be like, hey, I never knew you were going through XYZ? Like, has that crossover happened in your actual real life versus online? Like, what's that all like?
Yeah, definitely. An example is, you know, a few weeks ago, I'm going to call her my sister-in-law, but my partner's sister-in-law, she messaged me, and we haven't got a super close relationship, but we would both like to, and it's clear. She pretty much just said, look, I've just come across your TikTok and I want to thank you for being so vulnerable, because I think it is really helpful for me and I think it's really going to help other people as well. So that was really, really nice. And just some people that, you know, I knew when I was younger or at uni have reached out and DM'd me and like thanking me for being vulnerable online. So that's really, really kind, because you don't have to reach out. You could just think that and not mention it.
That's so beautiful.
And then not just people that I know, like I've started having people recognize me and come up and thank me for what I'm creating, which is just makes me feel so bloody good. Yeah. I swear to God.
You deserve it.
It's just lovely. And like, all I'm really doing is just running around packing my lunch and cooking and talking to the camera as if you're my best friend. So it feels really nice to have that community somehow find my little corner of the internet and like to be there. Yeah. So really, really blessed.
Yeah. And for the people that don't watch Christina's videos every day, like I do, she does a series. I've got X minutes to get ready for work, and they're usually chaotic, and there's usually a straw that goes in the wrong way on the smoothie bottle, all the food that goes everywhere. So you have to check out the series if you haven't seen already, because it's literally the best thing. But I want a little behind the scenes scoop, and this is very much on my like, I'm obsessed with TikTok, I love your content brain coming out. Can you tell I'm fangirling? Are you ever actually really late? Because you're always filming and in a rush. And I know when I film in the mornings and I'm doing like a running behind thing, I always add an extra 20 minutes because I'm trying to set up my camera and try and film. Is it – well, give us the tea. Give us the behind the scenes on it. Like,
yeah. So I have to leave for work at 8. 8:05 if I want to be screaming in traffic and stressing out. And I usually start filming at like 7:45, 7:55. It's literally I look at my watch and that's what I say. So it's as real as it gets. I just enjoy it because I've always kind of done that. I've always just kind of like just and like setting up a camera. I have an upside down candle in my kitchen. I've put my phone there. There's no tripod. There's no light.
Who needs a tripod when you've got an upside down candle?
Kmart, upside down candle. It's great. But yeah, sometimes I'm a few minutes late. Sometimes I'm not. But with my work, it's okay. It's cool. They're pretty good. Chill. So, but I've said this before that like I need pressure to do anything. So even before I start filming, I might have started cooking. Like this morning I cooked a steak at 7 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. So I was like, let's cook something. And yesterday I was cooking zucchini muffins at like 6:30. And like I'm still cooking in the morning if I feel like it.
That's wild.
But I just don't start packing my lunch until I start like doing it with you guys. So there's a scoop.
We love the scoop. I will just never be able to fathom how my life together enough to cook an entire dish at 7 in the morning. Like the amount of dishes that you're like, yeah, so I had to preheat the oven, then I had to put this in, then I had to take it out, then I had to pan fry something. Oh yeah, I made an entire stir fry at 7 a.m. I'm like, go queen. Like you inspire me to try and be more organized, even though you're always running late.
Like, is it real life together, or is it that I've procrastinated my entire life that I have only this amount of time to do what I should have done previously, which everyone screams at me for, but I am who I am. But you know, we thrive in chaos sometimes.
No, I'm totally here for it. Would you ever release a cookbook like Wholesome Chaos by Christina cookbook for, you know, 7 a.m. steak recipes.
Yes, but the measurements would be like half a doobie wacky, and like there would be no measurements. It would just be measure with my heart, measure with love, because I don't do that.
Oh, honestly, that's the best way to cook. It's the only right way to cook, in my opinion, unless you're baking, in which case then you do have to be very precise.
Oh, yeah.
Because baking is kind of like, it's science, really. It's science.
It is.
It totally is, yeah.
I've got a cousin that's a pastry chef. I don't know if you know Adriana's number. He was like on MasterChef and stuff. And like
literally, yeah. Oh, just casually. When I found that out, I was like, oh my fucking God. Like upset. Because I'm a hardcore MasterChef person. And so was my mom. And like a couple of years ago for Mother's Day, we like went to his pastry cafe in Melbourne for like a Mother's Day, like high tea or something. So like we're huge fangirls. And that's then you're good. Like, oh yeah, just my cousin. I was like, what? This is not casual information. Okay, for me, it's not casual information, but...
Oh, yeah, I guess a lot of people ask because it's the same surname, but I think the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, he can deal with the pastries, he can deal with the baking, because I can't touch that, I'm not fair good enough. At it. So I'm going to throw everything in a pan and see what works out.
Fair enough. Everyone's got their strengths.
Yeah.
No, totally. Do you think you'd ever want to pursue, I guess, content, food, sort of mental health advocacy, self-love sort of stuff full-time, I guess, in like the creator world, and end up quitting your job or quitting the traditional sort of corporate 9-to-5? Or do you find that trying to balance both, I guess, as part-time creator, full-time work is what you're loving to do?
Look, I would love to be able to do this full-time if it got to a point that I could. But at this stage, I'm really loving having the balance. Like I'm finding that so everyone at work knows that I do this, and that's a massive difference to my previous jobs because I kept it a secret.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was embarrassed for some reason. And then on my very first day of this job, one of my colleagues was like, so you like cooking? And I was like, sure. How do you know that? He's like, I follow you on TikTok. So there was no hiding it from the very first day.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, look, I would love to be able to pursue content full time if the opportunity arose in the future, maybe. But I'm really happy doing what I'm doing. I'm finding the balance of separating my life and actually having people to go to. And I love my team. I love my work and I love what I'm doing at the moment. So
yeah.
I'm pretty happy as is, but, you know, never say never.
Very true.
Fair enough. So are you, from a content creation perspective, are you a one-man show, or do you have kind of a team behind you who help you, I don't know, come up with video ideas or produce or edit or anything like that?
Oh, no, that's just me. I mean, Dan will chuck his head into the kitchen and tell me something that I should do, but I never listen because I'm very stubborn. But no, it's me. I film in the morning. I might edit on my lunchtime, or I edit at nighttime. I film at nighttime when I'm cooking, and I edit until I go to sleep, and then hang out with Dan and hang out with Ellie. And, like, it's a lot. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So you and I are basically living the same life.
Yeah. It's a lot, and balance is something I need to work on, I think.
Well, speaking of balance, how have you found that search has been for you, and how have you grown over time? What have you found is particularly helpful for you to achieve as close to balance as you possibly can?
It depends on what aspect of my life you're talking about, because I find that I always want to be balanced with things, but, you know, at some points there's priorities that shift, and, like, at the moment, TikTok's really a big part of my life, but it used to be a lot more Pilates. It used to be a lot more focus on food. It used to be a lot more like seeing friends a lot more often. And, you know, I don't know if everyone's ever truly balanced, but I'm doing what I can, and I'm focusing on what is giving me passion and giving me like the good feels at the moment. But I, like, in terms of relationships, I know that at the start of this year, I was like, I want to work a little bit more on my relationships, and that means reaching out to those people that, you know, aren't really close anymore. So, like, for example, I moved to Brisbane 3 years ago, and I moved a big friendship group, left them down in New South Wales, and I miss them dearly. And that those friendships change as you move away. But, like, I find that if they happen to come across my mind or I'm thinking of them, I'll send them a quick message saying I love you or I'm thinking of you. And I find that that is just something for me to say, you know, I'm working on this relationship in some way, and kind of, it's a nice thing to receive. So something else that I do is, you know, building habits that become routine, like my meal prepping, as that's become a routine. That's not something that came naturally to me. Actually bringing lunch, I used to be the girl that bought it every day and spent too much. I'd spent, you know, $30 every day. So I was like, who needs a house?
Oh, wait, I do.
got used to a certain kind of living. yeah, so creating those habits that kind of become routine, so you don't really need to think about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And even like physical activity, for example, I used to not exercise whatsoever, but figuring out how much movement helps my mental health, I do it every day if I can. And like hanging out with my friends, they've become, you know, hot girl walks or like hikes or like we'll go for night swims at the pool, and we're hanging out but we're also moving our bodies because it feels good. Yep. Not always. I mean, I love a spicy marg on the weekend and I love to go out for food, but it's something that I've added into, you know, the plethora of what we do together.
I love that you said moving your body because it feels good, because I think that's something that a lot of people forget with activity and fitness and, you know, moving their body. They do something because it'll help them achieve a certain look rather than focusing on how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And you're so much more inclined to do exercise or be active if it's something that you actually enjoy. So as long as you're moving your body, it kind of doesn't really matter what it is, because you're having fun.
And, like, that's probably why I love, like, reformer Pilates. I found something that feels really good for me. And my best days start with movement or involve movement in some way. And I don't mean best days as in, like, I could tick it off and say that I've moved today. My best mental health days, my clearest, my freest days have movement in them. So why not, like, focus on things that are going to make you feel better?
Yeah, totally.
I need you to like write me like a quote book or something to live by, because you always have the right thing to say. And it's just, you know, Stella and I have struggled with our relationship with food or body image, you know, as much of our generation has. And it's so refreshing to see such a genuinely and candid, positive relationship with food and working out and balance. And it's so refreshing. And in, like Stella said, the way that you phrase it is just, oh, I'm not moving to lose weight. I'm not exercising to lose weight. It's, oh, well, I enjoy this. Oh, it makes me feel good. Like, why would I not do that? It's like, you know, if you love a sleep in, it feels good. If you love going for a walk, it feels good. If you want to eat a chocolate cake, it feels good. Like, just enjoy life and don't tie that negative mental energy to it. But yeah, it gets me very excited.
Oh, it's not easy. And like, there's years of unlearning. Like, I've been through eating disorders and like punishing and restricting. Mm. So now I just want to be me and not want to waste time and energy worrying about that and worrying about what my body looks like. And something that a family member who's like a more mature woman said a few weeks ago to me was, she was observing people on the beach and saying, you know, those curvy girls in bikinis. She was like, oh, I could never do that. She's quite a very thin woman. And I just realized that I don't want to spend my whole life hating my body and just thinking and speaking about myself in that negative way. I've got, like, I might have a daughter, I might have kids, and I want to be nice to myself forever.
Yeah.
Everyone has those days. Everyone's going to be like feeling not themselves or not so kind to themselves. But I think if the majority of the days you can say you were kind to yourself in some way, that's how I kind of want to live.
Totally. I had a very similar moment literally the other day where I realized in 20, 30, 40, 50 years time, I'm going to look back on how I look now and who I am now and be like, oh my God, I was way too hard on myself. I didn't appreciate myself. I didn't realize how good I had it.
Yeah.
So it's a conscious effort sometimes to make that switch and say, you know what? I'm going to take little moments to appreciate how my boobs look now before having kids or, you know, what my butt looks like, even if it's you know, super up and perky or whatever. Like, I'm just going to take moments to appreciate who I am now and what I look like now, because it's going to change over time.
Absolutely. And that needs to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Well, this gets me excited to want to, like, you know, love myself properly. Well, thank you, Christina, for putting up with our chaos and joining us today on this wonderful episode of It's a Definite Maybe. To finish out our episode, we always ask our guests to share their top three current recommendations. So this could be a recipe, a TV show, a song. It could be a form of movement. But share with podcast, our lovely listeners.
Book,
podcast, book.
Literally anything literally that you've been enjoying at the moment.
What are your sort of top three things at the moment that you're loving?
Oh, okay. So the song that I can't get out of my head, which I'm sure is in everyone's head right now, is Miley Cyrus's Flower.
Yes.
It's a banger. It feels good. Like, I love it.
Good.
And I'm not sick of it, even though it's been pumped. I Plump It Out.
It's
I
so
love it.
Good.
It's all over TikTok at the moment.
Exactly. A meal that I am loving and I've been saying is my current hyperfixation meal, because I've had it about 6 times in the last week, is this, I made this pesto chicken and kale salad with pomegranate and feta and quinoa and love it so much. So I will eat that on repeat until I'm sick of it and I want to look at it again. So, and then an app that I'm loving lately that I've had for quite a while, but I've only just started telling people about it, is it's called the I Am app. Ooh. I use it mainly on my Apple Watch. So every day it pops up with a little affirmation, you know, saying something nice, and I kind of read it out loud, or I talk to myself about what it is. And it's kind of that little bit of kindness that you have on your wrist. So it's kind of like keeps you going and something really
sweet. I love that.
Yeah.
Those are some beautiful recommendations. Amazing.
Well, for those of you who may not be connected on socials already, where can our lovely listeners find you on socials?
Yeah, so TikTok, I am Christina in Bloom, and on Instagram, I am Christina Zumbo, and Zumbo is just Jumbo with a Z. My whole life, that is how I say it.
I love that.
A good way to remember it, though. Amazing. Well, for anyone who isn't following us as well, as always, we will leave our links in the show notes as well. Go follow Christina on everything. Go follow us on everything. Otherwise, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this right now. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening along for another episode of The Areas of Life That Might Not Always Have a One-Size-Fits-All Approach. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.